Welcome to Popcorn and Podcasting.
Yay! Welcome back to Popcorn and Podcasting. We're back, and we have popcorn. And you can have popcorn if you make some yourself. You can pause it and go get your popcorn.
In fact, we'll give you a little break just so you can make yourself some popcorn.
Okay. We're back. We got our popcorn. You've got your popcorn, right? Good. Now we can enjoy our popcorn together and talk about music.
That's right. In fact, let's start with our trivia question for last time.
Oh, yes. Do you know who that Elder Oaks has a daughter who plays the violin? And she's quite good and quite
famous.
And so we asked in our last podcast who she is.
Drum roll.
Mysterious violinist. Jenny Oaks Baker.
Yay.
We'll find a place to link to her. You've got to listen to her. She's
amazing.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah. One of my favorite violinists, how do you say?
Okay. So we've been talking quite a bit about hymns. We're going to move on a little bit to standards in music, morality, and just worthiness of music, I guess, and various topics within that.
Sounds good. We start with the Article of Faith, number 13.
Yes.
Okay, all of you. When I was 11, just barely about to turn 12, I think I'd actually turned 12, and I was in the last primary program that I would ever be in. And I memorized this for it and said it during the primary program.
Cool.
Anyway.
You still have it memorized?
I just remembered that. No, I don't think I do. I can
try. I was going to say, I'll cover the screen. You do it.
I probably have to work on it. It's the longest one. Okay. So Article of Faith number 13 says, we believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things, we hope all things, we have endured many things, and hope to be able to endure all things. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things.
You know, if the world just went by that last sentence right there,
it
would be fine.
Yeah, people that produce things that are not good would
virtuous,
not
lovely,
yeah,
good report,
they would
or
not
praiseworthy.
Continue to make those things because they would realize that no one buys those kind of things, and it would just be better, and they would stop making them, and they would make good things.
Yeah, I think that right there could be a good rule of thumb for anything. If you're ever questioning whether media is worth
money
your
or time your
time or whatever, you know, just consider: is it virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy? And if it is, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, Ezra Taft Benson said, remember Elder Boyd K. Packer's statement? So here's another one of those double ups right here that...
one prophet kind of double quoting
whammy.
Another.
Yeah, one prophet quoting another. It says, music, once innocent, Music, once innocent, now is often used for wicked purposes. In our day, music itself has been corrupted. Music can, by its tempo, by its beat, by its intensity, and I would add by its lyrics, dull the spiritual sensitivity of men.
Mm.
That's very powerful. I never thought of it in terms of dulling the spiritual sensitivity.
Yeah, meaning essentially our ability to feel the Holy Ghost speak to us.
Which is quite vital.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, why would you do anything to dull that? That's, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Continuing, he says, young people, Elder Packer goes on to say, you cannot afford to fill your minds with the unworthy hard music of our day.
This was in 74.
That was in 74 that Elder Packer said it. Right. And it was in 86.
No,
it was
in... 73,
it was said. And then printed again in the Ensign
in
1974.
Oh, and then Elder Benson, or President Benson, quoted it in 86.
1986, yes.
Okay.
Instead, continuing on. Instead, we encourage you to listen to uplifting music, both popular and classical, that builds the spirit. Learn some favorite hymns from our new hymn book. That tells you.
Yeah, because the hymn book, they read it, the hymn book in 85.
From our new hymn book that build faith and spirituality. Attend dances where the music and lighting and the dance movements are conducive to the spirit. Watch those shows and entertainment that lift the spirit and promote clean thoughts and actions. Read books and magazines that do the same.
I think it's interesting that he says both popular and classical music. He mentions both, you know. He's not saying only listen to hymns and classical music, and that's it. He says some popular music is uplifting.
As long as it builds the spirit.
Yeah.
All right, this is one of my favorite quotes here.
Okay, it's by Elder Neil A. Maxwell. He says, "Ever wonder why the sensual scene so often features flashing but fading lights? Or why all the reinforcing glitz? Or why all the loudness masquerading as music? Because, fearful of the dawn, evil cannot stand the steady scrutiny of bright truth, nor can it endure the quiet reflections of soul-searching."
I love that.
Yeah.
First time I heard that, I was like, wait, what did he just say? And I listened to it again, I was like, I think there's something there. Let me hear it again. I had to listen to it like 5 times before I was like, whoa. Because
lots of Maxwellisms are like that.
Yeah, they really are. They have multiple levels too. But yeah, you think about how the world portrays its media with loudness, with bright flashing lights that come and go, things appearing and disappearing so quickly that you're either dulled to it, or you hardly noticed it, or so forth. And he's saying, you ever wonder why that is? Why it keeps being thrown out with flashiness and so forth? And why the loudness masquerading as music? I like that.
Yeah.
He says, because fearful of the dawn, evil cannot stand the steady scrutiny of bright truth. So bright truth, real truth, will show it for what it really is. And so it can't stand that. And also, nor can it endure the quiet reflections of soul searching. If you just spend some time soul searching, you'll realize what media that you're exposing yourself to ought to be removed from your life.
Mm-hmm.
It can't withstand.
If you really think about it, you know, you'll realize, you'll know what things in your life are not worthy of your attention.
Yeah. I like how it says fearful of the dawn, too.
Yeah.
Evil is fearful of the dawn, and the dawn is coming.
I always mess it up.
This is a big, long one. We can split this one in half if you want.
Okay. This is a scripture from Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 28 through 40. They who are of a celestial spirit shall receive the same body which was a natural body. Even ye shall receive your bodies, and your glory shall be that glory by which your bodies are quickened. Ye who are quickened by a portion of the celestial glory shall receive the same, even a fullness. And they who are quickened by a portion of the terrestrial glory shall then receive of the same, even a fullness. And also they who are quickened by a portion of the celestial glory shall then receive the same, even a fullness.
So if you think about it, what it seems to be saying is that whatever you have become when that time comes to receive your kingdom, or to be resurrected, I guess, you'll be quickened or resurrected by that glory, because that's what you are, and that's what you will become eternally.
So meaning, if you've lived your whole life as a telestial person, you've done telestial things your whole life,
and you've sought for telestial things.
Yeah, and suddenly when you get at the judgment, you can't suddenly, you know, repent of all that, or
You could try, but it wouldn't do any good because you're still who you are.
Yeah, you've become that person. You become what you do and what you see and, you know, what
you... expose yourself to.
What you choose to do your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Meaning if you have bad habits, change them quick because the longer you have them, the...
And this mortal life is so much easier to change than it is as a spirit.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I'll have to look up that quote. And maybe we can read it next time. But it's 10 times easier to change in a mortal body where we're malleable and where change is... We can easily force ourselves to change because our mortal bodies give in. Eventually. Mm. Spirits don't give in so easily.
And yet it sometimes seems hard when you're trying to break a bad habit.
Yeah. I heard...
But it's actually easier now and here than after you die.
Yeah, Elder Packer was talking about temptation and so forth. And if you find that your thoughts, you're just continually struggling with evil thoughts, he says, try fasting. Because when the body is deprived, it will submit.
Hmm.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. I think that's one of the reasons that we are so malleable in mortality is because
that's cool. we can deprive our bodies of things. For, you know, say you have an addiction to, you know, watching every R-rated movie that comes out, then you really want to stop, but, you know, you're having a hard time with it.
Try fasting.
You know, next Fast Sunday, fast to be able to stop.
Your body
whatever
will start
bad
saying,
habits,
well,
yeah.
I'll do anything.
Okay, so continue with the scripture here. In verse 32, and they who remain shall also be quickened. Nevertheless, they shall return again to their own place to enjoy that which they are willing to receive, because they are not willing to enjoy that which they might have received. Do you want to continue from here?
Sure. For what doth it profit a man if a gift is bestowed upon him and he receive not the gift? Behold, he rejoices not in that which is given unto him, neither rejoices in him who is the giver of the gift. And just think of all the gifts the Heavenly Father has given us. And even the beautiful music that he's provided, both the spiritual music and just inspirational, fun music, all those things he's provided, all that. And if we're wasting our time on listening to
rotten
garbage,
music,
I mean, the,
yeah.
No matter how enjoyable it is.
Yeah,
just
and then it's, you know, it's like Heavenly Father gave us a gift of something beautiful, and we're like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. And again, verily I say unto you, that which is governed by law is also preserved by law, and perfected and sanctified by the same. There's a slammer to those who say that, you know, obedience is just blind following. That which breaketh the law, and abideth not by law, but seeketh to become a law unto itself, and willeth to abide in sin, and altogether abideth in sin, cannot be sanctified by law, neither by mercy, justice, nor judgment. Therefore they must remain filthy still. All kingdoms have a law given, and there are many kingdoms, for there is no space in which there is no kingdom, and there is no kingdom in which there is no space. Either a greater or a lesser kingdom. And unto every kingdom is given a law, and unto every law there are certain bounds also and conditions. All beings who abide not in those conditions are not justified. So you basically, whatever law you live, that's what kingdom you'll be in.
Mm-hmm.
And you, if you think in terms of you are what you choose to expose yourself to. Now, there's some things you won't choose to expose yourself to, but you'll be exposed to.
Yeah.
But
like
when you're making a choice. Yeah.
I always hear people justify, you know, their kids hearing vulgarity in TV or movies, you know. I always hear people justify, well, they'll hear it at school anyway. Like, yeah, but they're not paying to hear it and, yeah, choosing to hear it.
Mm-hmm. And you listen to it in a movie or in music, you're actively Seeking it out, really.
There's a big difference between, you know, hearing it as you pass someone in the hall and hearing it in a movie that you've paid to go see, or a CD that you've paid for and chosen to listen to.
Okay, so this last verse. For intelligence cleaveth unto intelligence. Wisdom receiveth wisdom. Truth embraceth truth. Virtue loveth virtue. Light cleaveth unto light. Mercy hath compassion on mercy and claimeth her own. Justice continueth in its course and claimeth its own. Judgment goeth before the face of him who sitteth upon the throne and governeth and executeth all things. You know what that makes me think? It would be an interesting introspection, I guess, to think about, to take some time to just think about what kinds of people do you personally feel comfortable with? Who do you feel most comfortable with? Because those are the kind of people you're going to be with for eternity unless you change what you're doing. And if the answer is, I love being with people who are strong in the faith, who bear their testimony, who love the Lord and try to keep His commandments and live for that.
Yeah.
If you feel most comfortable with them,
then that's
a pretty good sign.
You're doing pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you're on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah, on the other hand, if you realize that all of your best friends, all the people you hang out with the most often are people that are a little questionable, you know, people that you wonder if you really should be hanging out with them, then you know you need to change some things.
Mm-hmm. That makes you think,
starting
too,
with who you hang out with.
You know, when, I mean, we're both blogaholics. We do a lot of blog reading, especially, and there's a lot of blogs where somebody will be kind of griping about a principle of the gospel or something, and I think, what kind of person are they most comfortable with? You know what? Mm. You know, are they? I get the impression that somebody who's griping about a true principle of the gospel is probably most comfortable with people who are either on the fringes or just on the other side of the fence, mm-hmm. which they're going to be with the people they're most comfortable with. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Here is a quote from Elder Boyd K. Packer, well, President Packer. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to remember their right titles. From the May 2007 Ensign. The church and individual members of it have always been, are now, and ever will be under siege from the adversary. He will cover, even erase, the still small voice through loud and dissonant music awash with lyrics that cannot be understood, or worse, by lyrics that can be understood. He will carefully lead us astray with every other temptation he could devise. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thing about lyrics. Sometimes it's worse when you do understand them.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my lifetime there have been a couple of songs that I initially liked until I discovered what the lyrics were, either by looking them up on the internet or by listening closely, and then I realized, oh, it's a terrible song, but I still have the tune in my head, and I still have, and now that I know what the lyrics are, I have those
throw
words
themselves into the
in my head. Yeah. It's just like we said in a previous podcast, when you hear a tune, you automatically sing the words in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you liked the tune before you knew that the words were terrible,
you're gonna repeat that message,
then you have then you have those degrading words every time you hear that tune. Even though it's just insane. It's bad.
Yep.
A very effective tool of Satan's to get good people to repeat terrible things in their minds.
Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about the music that has beautiful music to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful melody and you know, accompaniment and so forth, but has degrading words simply because it's poison. It's just sheer poison.
Yeah, it's like a disguise, kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know. You know, you see it, or you first hear it, and you think, oh, that sounds good, I like this tune. And before you know it, you've also got the lyrics stuck in your head.
I like this quote, because it's very simple and straightforward. Brother Joseph B. Worthland said, "Some of the world's music is degrading, vulgar, and inappropriate, and will drown out the promptings of the Holy Ghost."
I just thought really of something.
Like, yeah.
Speaking of lyrics and tunes and stuff, I've sometimes seen my friends on Facebook quote a song. You know, and at first I don't even know that's what they're doing, but, you know, they quote a song and you read through the lyrics, and I know they're thinking of a song that I don't even know, but, you know, I read through the lyrics and I'm thinking, do you even know what you're saying?
I think sometimes people just kind of numb their mind to what they're hearing or seeing. They say, oh, well, I kind of, you know, maybe it means that, but that's kind of, you know, stretching. I don't know, you know. I don't think of it that way. I think of it differently.
Yeah, anyway, you know? It's a good tune.
Yeah. Or else when people say, I just like the rhythm.
Yeah.
Or I just like the melody.
I just like the melody, yeah.
That's like saying, yeah, I know there's poison in my glass of juice, but I just like the juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Be better if it was, you know, in sour, awful tasting water.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care what it's, you know, I don't care that it's going to kill me. It sounds good, or it tastes good.
That just silly. Anyway, I really like these verses.
Okay. From Doctrine and Covenants, section 121. Verses 45 and 46. Let thy bowels also be full of charity towards all men and to the household of faith, and let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God, and the doctrine of the priesthood shall distill upon thy soul as the dews from heaven. The Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion, and thy scepter an unchanging scepter of righteousness and truth. And thy dominion shall be an everlasting dominion, and without compulsory means, it shall flow unto thee forever and ever. That's very cool.
Yeah. And the very simple, I mean, it has tons of promises in there, but look at the simple
only one thing for you to do.
That they're saying you got to do. Let your bowels be full of charity towards all men, and to the household of faith, and let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. And then it has all these promises that include, I mean, just that first one, that thy confidence will wax strong in the presence of God. Can you imagine standing before Heavenly Father right now? How would you feel right now? I think I would be pretty blown away by it, you know, and would be probably, you know,
pretty intimidated at the least.
Yeah, severely understated, you know. Intimidation, you know, and so forth. But here it says, if I'm letting virtue garnish my thoughts, then my confidence will be strong in his presence. I'll be able to stand in his presence and feel comfortable there.
And you'll be happy and glad to see him. And,
yeah.
You know, instead of...
It won't be a, woe is me, you know.
Yeah, hide me, because I haven't, you know, stoned the prophets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, spiritually stoning the prophets and... today especially, but amazing promises for such a simple thing. Let virtue garnish thy thoughts. And how can you do that with the even slightly inappropriate music?
Interesting the word garnish there, I just noticed. I've learned a little bit. My mom has gotten really into Dutch oven cooking. She's like a pro and does all these competitions and stuff. And
world
so
champion.
Yeah, I never knew exactly what a garnish was in cooking, but recently I've learned more about a garnish. And
what is a garnish?
And it's something that like decorates the food, but it should usually be something that's used in the recipe, you know, like, you know, like if you have a recipe for cookies and it And you're going to put
chocolate chips on top or something.
Yeah, or, you know, like powdered sugar. You shouldn't just put something on the top of something to decorate it unless it's in the recipe.
Mm,
you know, like if you have like muffins that have blueberries in them, then you could, you know,
stick a blueberry around the tip of your bun or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's probably why a lot of times they use the, like if they have a turkey with stuffing or something, they'll garnish it with parsley because there's parsley in the stuffing.
Yeah. I was just trying to think about that relating to the scripture a little bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Virtues, if you're using virtue as a garnish to your thoughts, then that means virtue's an ingredient, a main ingredient of your thoughts.
Mm, very interesting. And it also, that makes me think too, you know, the one of the main reasons for a garnish is to beautify it, to make mm-hmm. it look more aesthetically pleasing. And I think when a person maintains pure thoughts, you can see it in their face.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know exactly what it is that you're seeing, but there's something pure about them, something clean and fresh about them.
And I was just thinking, too, that lots of times a garnish will kind of be like an announcement of what kind of pie this is, you know? You put
some apples decorating an apple pie.
Yeah, so people see that and they're like, oh, that's an apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, having virtue as a garnish on your thoughts.
This person knows the spirit.
People see you and people are like, oh, this person's virtuous.
Mm.
Right away. Interesting. I'll have to think more about that.
Yeah. Other M. Russell Ballard said, because of its sheer size, media today presents vast and sharply contrasting opinions. Opposite from its harmful and permissive side, media offers much that is positive and productive. Television offers history channels, discovery channels, education channels. One can still find movies and TV comedies and dramas that entertain and uplift and accurately depict the consequences of right and wrong. I think that's a key element.
I think it's interesting that he says one can still find movies.
Yeah,
as if
they're not gone.
Yeah, as if he's saying they will be gone.
That's an interesting one. The internet can be a fabulous tool of information and communication, and there is an unlimited supply of good music in the world. Thus, our biggest challenge is to choose wisely what we listen to and what we watch.
Again, with like the that. Choose wisely, just like choose your spouse wisely, you choose your movies wisely too.
You do, and honestly, you could spend your life. Just say, take movies for example. You could line up movie after movie from the beginning of your life till the end and have it completely filled with good, clean, quality, uplifting movies. You could.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, you don't have that much time. So, what it comes down to is what
you
will choose?
You choose the very best one, you know?
And
you music
got a million
too.
To
I mean, there's enough music that you could listen to music straight through from the day you're born till the day
every
you
die. Every second of your life. And it could all be pure, clean, uplifting, enjoyable music.
Mm-hmm.
So really, making the choice to...
But you have to sleep sometimes.
Yeah. And see, since we don't have that much time anyway, then we have an unlimited supply of good media to choose
so
from.
So that means, you know, every time you choose to listen to music that's degrading or immoral, then you're wasting some time that you could be listening to good, uplifting music, you know?
Yeah, and if you just really like it or it's really entertaining or something like that, just look a little deeper. There's something else that's just as entertaining, maybe more so,
mm-hmm.
that is far more clean.
One complaint I hear a lot is that all the good music is boring. And I'm like, no, you haven't listened to some of the music I've listened to.
You haven't looked.
Yeah, it's out there. Good,
in
entertaining, uplifting music. Yeah, there's a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it my turn? Okay. Yeah. Ooh, I get another Maxwell one. Nice. Okay, so this is other Maxwell from the May 1984 Enzyme. He says, Alma faced an awful and anguished moment where he felt that he might actually become extinct, both soul and body. Then he remembered his father's prophecies concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. In a moment of deep intellectual humility, his mind caught hold upon this thought. Out came Alma's great soul cry, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. Purpose replaced pain. Joy swallowed up despair as Alma apparently viewed God upon his throne, and he longed to join God. Such longing for a heavenly home is real, especially in view of how this life is designed. I couldn't read for a second.
Isn't that funny how sometimes just suddenly a word will be like, I've never heard that. I had one time I was sitting here, I was like, what letter is it that makes the t sound? Which one is that? This is what we call a brain.
After all, brothers and sisters, when we rejoice in beautiful scenery, great art, and great music, it is but the flexing of instincts acquired in another place and another time.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah.
This isn't the first place that we've had music.
Good and music art, and good art.
And scenery.
Beautiful things to hear and look at.
Yep.
That's cool.
So, that's the end of this podcast for today. What should we do for a
trivia
question? We'll pause for a second to come up with a trivia question. And your question for this week is, how does popcorn pop? Or why does popcorn pop? How does it work? Answer that and you'll get a yay in the comments.
And a good...
Or a congratulatory email, if you'd prefer.
Or a video of us telling you congratulations.
Hey, that's a good idea. If you get it right, we'll send you a short little video of us singing a congratulations song.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.